Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Text 17. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hi Sadbhava Yutanam Karanam Isha Vismaye Vatostatam Manabhanga Pasamayo Pakopate. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief.
Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichetanya Manobhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadam Sivam Adadana Chanandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Sunadi Pasadam Doja Vilisam Janma Janmani Parāgya Yudhbhakti Visam Payatnai Apayam Mamara Dipsanandam Sutam Vihiyya Paradhuka Dhuji Sanatanistam Prabhumatriyami Ajanu Lambita Bhujo Samikāvitāto Sankirtanaikapitaro Samavāyatākṣo Vishvambaro Jijivaro Yudhadharmapalo Vande Jagatriyakaro Karanādhataro Vajāmi Rādham Aravindanetram Parāmi Rādham Madhurātmatasyam Padami Radham Karunabharadham Sathomanyakti Dityanathati Hansha Kalpa Purubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Vidadha Vivasade Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Udupi. I explained many times it's the place of Madhva Acharya's deity. It was found in I don't know the story, in a beach near here. And so it's the center of the Madhva Sampradaya, of course. Where the Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. One time I think Jayadvaita Maharaj was talking to one Madhva scholar, and after some he said, "Oh yes," he said, "we also have one heresy or heretic sect, and that's the Gaudiya Math or Iskand." because we're so much different than them. And so the traditionalist can't see how we actually came from them in their life. And of course, we are in that light. But other than Bhikkhuri, that is special realization and delegation from the Supreme Lord to reveal the full manifestation of the absolute truth. I was reading in Bhaktisiddhanta Deepakuri's Maharaja's book. He's also actually an Udupi and a very fortunate Ranjan Swami, just is actually 3 minutes down the road. In his book, I really like that example by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Krishna tu Bhagavai Swayam, that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And there's one absolute reality, there's not many. Even we sometimes have that verse, Vedanta tat tatti vidas tatti ajgana madhyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. The absolute truth is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. It's not three separate things. It's one thing perceived in different ways according to the approach, perspective, and process in which you try to realize that absolute truth. So Krishna means that the moon has different phases. If you see a quarter of the moon, it doesn't mean the rest of the moon is not there. It means just part of the moon is being revealed. So Krishna means when that absolute tattva, that absolute supreme reality, reveals himself fully. And one reveals himself fully in reciprocation to the most intimate love, which requires a place of confidence to inspire the opening up of the hearts. This I probably gave the example of Narayan, the high court judge, the person comes up. I know I repeat this many times, but it's the essence. So the high court judge is like the quarter moon. The same person in his home, but he's not revealing his full personality. Where Krishna means Akila Rasamrita Murti, he's the full manifestation of all the loving natures and reciprocations and personalities of the Supreme Lord. So somehow, Madhavendra Puri, by some incredible mercy, revealed and had this realization about the full Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, full manifestation. Well, and that's being presented here in the Bhagavatam, and by some special mercy we are connected in that line. Now in the next two classes I'm going to finish this Govardhan Leela. Someone told me that in public speaking it's never good to be self-deprecating, but I have to say that I did find this pastime increasingly difficult to speak about, because, you know, the reason I present the 10th canto in one sense is one sense of giving devotees an experience, or just speaking about Krishna is wonderful. We shouldn't just give classes that one should speak about Krishna, but we should actually speak about Krishna, and that experience is wonderful to visualize and to try to feel that topmost love between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. And that's also one of the main ways in which we nourish that love. Of course, the topmost way, I've been studying this recently, and I'm actually writing a paper on it, how, you know, the process of how you actually achieve Vrindavan, And the topmost process, and I've been reading it in Goswami literature after Goswami literature, there's no doubt if you want the primary and best way to awaken your eternal relationship with Krishna, it's Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan. It means loud chanting, preferably in the association of devotees, of Krishna's names. And which names? Those names which are dear to you. And in our line, we get Gaura, we get Radha, we get Krishna. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, there's a definition of initiation, and it describes that initiation, Divyajnan, transcendental knowledge comes down. And what is that transcendental knowledge? Well, it is what's revealed when you get linked to a bona fide sampradaya. What is revealed? Two things. Bhagavat, the Sheshgan, and what is it? Bhagavat Sheshgan and Bhagavat Sarupgan. You get realization of the manifestation of the Supreme Lord that you worship. And Sambandha Sheshgan, and you get knowledge of your relationship with Krishna. This is actually what it means to be linked in a particular line. And we get knowledge of our relationship with Krishna first, and it's not completely general, it's not the most specific, but we know we're in line, and in our line of Radha and Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We know we're in that line. We get Bhagavad Gita, we get the forms of God whom we worship. And therefore, sometimes in some particular sampradayas, when one gets initiated, we get the deity of the form that he worships. And I know that Prabhupada did this. He did it, but because everyone lived in the temples, I remember when I was growing up in Krishna consciousness, when you got initiated, the first thing you would do is you now could worship the deities. And it was practically like Prabhupada was giving you the deities. If you grew up in the Brooklyn temple and then you got initiated, you were getting Radha Govinda. That was your Ishtadev. It was practically your eternal relationship. You know, if you grew up in Boston, then Radha Gopi Vallabha was your Ishtadev. And it was Radha Krishna. And your relationship was given by Prabhupada in that way, in a very, very practical way. So we have, what is it called, Supriyanam. We have names of beloved lords. And by chanting those names, because we have some bundle or relationship, there will be some devotion. It's so important. I'm realizing, as I'm sharing you my realizations, I've been studying very deeply Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Sandarbha, etc. It's so clear. This is the process. And when we become qualified for Smaran or Astakalila Smaran, remembering the Lord's pastimes, that's basically to nourish the Nam, to nourish the pleasure you get from chanting God's names, which is given by Lord. I chanted today Sankirtanaika Piparo. Who is Lord Chaitanya? He's the father of the Sankirtan movement. So the Sankirtan movement is his child. And when you take care of that Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the name, so nice. And since this reading, that we all want perfection, I want to improve, I want to become deeper in my Krishna consciousness. I really, because I'm not so much by my nature and karma,
And I think just the way the world is now, we're not growing up in a village in Bengal, we don't have so much opportunity for this congregational chanting. I'm just taking the songbook myself and I'm just singing all these wonderful songs. And I can understand it's Prabhupada's mercy. We have relationship. Shamagori, Vidyaki Shori, Vitamajori, Sriradhe, Vasikavasilo, Chayachadilo, Kunagaradilo, Sri Krishna, Chayadhe, Jayadhe, Radhe, Jayadhe, Jay Sriradhe, Jai Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna. I mean, you can go, we've actually got a treasure of Supriyanam, names of our beloved, that we can chant. And I find, too, the more we chant the names and the songs, the more sambandha we get also with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I guess the point I'm making, anyway, is that I'm realizing it in this Govardhan Leela, it's become a little difficult for me because I'm not somehow able to distinguish. I found in the other pastimes that I picked, Brahmavi Mohan Leela and delivering the wives of the Brahmins, Kaliya pastime, Dana Kashim, the 10th Canto, somehow each verse was somehow lending, at least to me, to more of a philosophical understanding. And I found when doing katha, the idea was, for me, is the pastimes open one's heart, and then when the heart is open, it's very easy to put in the proper philosophical understanding. So it's been a little bit of a struggle. I'll be finished with this, and then we can think, and I'm open to suggestions of what else we can do. Maybe I'm going to be in Puri for a few days. Maybe some of the classes there I can put online because they'll be about the same time. Because we're going to have classes morning and evening. But I'm looking, I'm thinking maybe, because I remember different Bhagavatam stories that I really relish. The story of Narada Muni, it just has all different aspects for our spiritual advancement. Maybe I can speak on the story of Pitrasara again, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said is the highest expression of love outside the 10th canto. A very famous verse from that, Narayana Prasarve Nakuta Chanya Bibyati Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Apituye Puyesha Darshana. One who is Narayana Parayana, who loves the God in his heart, he actually has prithi. He wants to please. Narayana Prasarve Nakuta Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Apituye. If he can please the Lord, he doesn't mind. Swaga, the heavenly planets, Swaga, Pravaga, the earth is not in hell. He doesn't have, his goal is the pleasure of Krishna, and that pleasure is his pleasure. And that's exemplified by Vitrasa. Anyway, I'm open for any suggestions of what people, you know, want to hear. I also find the class a challenge. Of course, you know, I know you're all there, but I don't see you, and I don't really know who's there, but I kind of have a sense. I kind of feel your hearts right now. There must be people there listening and rooting for me, I really thank the people because this is my life, to actually speak Krishna Katha. And we've kept it up. I mean, I checked the numbers, and people are still somehow at it coming. So you could all let me know. Now let's go to this pastime, this Govardhan Leela, and see what we can do with it today. And so nice. It's dealing right now with the mercy of Krishna. Well, it's always the mercy of Krishna. And that's a fact. And a devotee who takes shelter of Krishna, he realizes that mercy.
And he develops such faith, such strong faith. And what's that faith? That Krishna is maintaining me, and he's protecting me. And he realizes that everything that happens to him is best. He may not realize it in the moment, but after experiencing it, whatever troubles there are, and experiencing it in a mood of confidence and shelter in Krishna, somehow or other, every circumstance he goes through, he's able to extract a wonderful realization that brings him to a higher and happier level of consciousness. And of course, an intelligent person realizes that real happiness is not ultimately the environment, but it's your perspective and mood. And your perspective and mood is elevated by Krishna to a perfect perspective and mood, free from illusion, where you actually see God and realize God in full confidence by whatever karma, destiny, comes your way. So we see here in this particular pastime, Krishna purifying his devotees who fall under the sway of illusion. And what is the illusion? The illusion is ishamanic. And here it also mentions the word isha, vishmaye, the false identification, the false pride of what? Isha. Considering, the false pride of considering one a controlling lord. And Krishna destroys that for his devotees. He destroys it personally. And that's the famous verse that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. One second here. I got entangled. That famous verse in the Bhagavatam, Yasyaham Anudinami Harishye Tadvanam. I give my blessings to a person by taking away his so-called opulence. Of course, that's not what Krishna has to do. He gives opulence, he takes opulence away. He does whatever it takes to bring you to a higher level of realization that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we're his servants. I remember in Vrindavan, I was very impressed. The Jayadvaita Swami, what happened is it's unfortunate and it may shock some of you, but our temple president was shocked by the, it's hard to believe in Vrindavan, but by some elements, it's, anyway, he was shocked. It's only actually 4 or 5 doors from me. And he was rushed to the hospital, and it looked for certain that he would die. He was a disciple of Jayadvaita Maharaj, and, you know, Purijan Prabhu was so intelligent and expert. You know, he's just so wise. He just knew what to do in every circumstance. And he sent a message to Jayadvaita Maharaj, and, you know, and Jayadvaita Maharaj sent back just a few words. You know, something like Krishna, it was so realized, Krishna is the supreme controller and takes shelter of it. It was just, I can't remember it right now, but that sense. And that's what we have to realize, and what we're going through now is helping us to realize it. Because although we are trying to control the world for our enjoyment, in terms of material enjoyment, and we're trying so hard to control it, we all can see that it's moving against our control. And it's moving against our control. Why? Because it's moving according to the control of God. And God is moving the world for our benefit. And when one actually realizes that and responds to the world, as said by Bhishma Devi, it's actually a very famous statement. It was called the cure for all despondency. And when Yudhisthira went to him on the, when Bhishma was dying and lying on his bed of arrows, and
all the sages of the world were there. And then when Bhishma Dev saw Yudhisthira, because Yudhisthira suffered so much throughout his life. And what did it culminate? A war was fought to enthrone him, which he tried to resist. And when he was finally enthroned, he was such a saintly person, he said that all the people that had died and all the carnage I see, the cause of it is this. Me. Putting me on the throne. And he just became depressed. When he finally went to Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev said, Jiva Tum Nahi Artu. You do not deserve to live. Which meant that your suffering was so great that better that you have died. You do not deserve to live. And Bhishma Dev, he's on a bed of arrows. You know, imagine what he's tolerating there, lying on a bed of arrows, waiting for the auspicious time to leave. The tear comes from his eyes. Bhishma Dev is actually giving him the example of compassion. And compassion means unable to bear the distress of others. Every evening, Naranjan Swami comes over to visit me, and I really relish it. We're reading the seventh chapter of the first part of the Bhagavatam, and he's telling me of a disciple of his that's come here because she has a disease where the inner core of her body increasingly hardens. And it's a very horrible disease, and it's so much pain. It's not even arthritis. Your body just increasingly becomes hard. And you know, he was telling me about it. He was saying, I was just thinking of it. He said, what a feeling I get in the pit of my stomach. I was thinking, boy, he's compassionate. He's feeling to have pain. So that's the devotee. The devotee's compassionate. Jiva Dev, Krishna, Sarvadharma, etc. He's compassionate. And he wants to therefore help people. So Bhishma Dev is crying. And when he's crying, then he finally answers his question. Why is suffering? And he gets this thing, the cure for all despondency. He said, if one reacts to his destiny by worshiping the Supreme Lord, by following religious principles, destiny comes. How to react? Forgiveness, tolerance, you know, action, whatever. By following religious principles and by worshiping the Supreme Lord and under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and Brahmins. Three things. When our destiny comes, we see God. We see God because we know He's coming to bring us closer to Him. And He's coming to teach us something that's invaluable to our ultimate spiritual development. And then we also realize that the act that we have to follow the right principle in responding to that, to fully extract that realization. And then we realize that to do that, we have to take guidance, the religious principles, the shastras, but which one applies? That's the devotees, the Brahmins, the teachers, the Vaishnavas. And if we do that, there's no cause for despondency, no matter how trying the circumstance is, because how trying the circumstance is, we're extracting the lesson that elevates our consciousness to a higher level of happiness. So here in this verse, Krishna, because it says Nahi, it may be questioned. Nahi, it may be questioned. What's question? Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the deputed servants, their sadbhava yukta, they have sadbhava, the bhava of truth and goodness. Because they have that, the false pride of considering oneself should not affect them. when you're in goodness or you're in truth, that means you're realizing God. And realizing God means realizing your position and relationship with Him. But when the false pride of considering, it should not overcome one who's fixed on God. That sense shouldn't be there within him. And that's what a demigod is. But, he says, when I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. Because that consciousness puts us in a material body which is threatened with non-existence. So we may do so many things, have so many desires, the benedictions in relationship to the body. I have that. I know what. I wish I had so much money I could fly first class instead of going in the economy cattle car. I got a 20-hour flight to New York. Oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. But if it increases the conception that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, because it's in relationship to the body, not the soul. If it increases that conception, it increases your fear. And what is that fear? The fear of non-existence. Because if you identify with the body, who you think you are will cease to be, and it's coming soon. So Krishna is kind. He wants to free one through this, and his purpose is to bring them relief. That burns. And isn't it, it's easy to get into that consciousness. The envy. I wish the person who is richer, famous, ruby, diamond, rings and pearls, just to attract fools to the spiritual when home is there. So this false ego, this envy, and in spiritual life, that false ego, I am the controller, it puts you in the competitive spirit. And this is what happened to Indra. And you commit offenses. Indra also, Trubhuvana Aishwarya, he had the opulence of the three worlds. And can you imagine heaven sitting on the throne, everybody worshiping him? And then, it inflates the conception of yourself. And therefore, you can't relate properly. And when you don't relate properly, you commit offenses. You think yourself better than you are. You won't relate to people properly. And you'll offend them. And that's what happened to Indra. His own guru walked in. He did not recognize his guru. And what is a devotee? A devotee is one who is not trying to be the controller. And therefore, he's one who doesn't have envy. The second verse of the Bhagavatam explains that so clearly. Bhana projita kaitavota arama namasara anamsata. What's the Bhagavatam? It's for the devotees. Why? It kicks out material religion, where you do things for food and gain to increase your position. I don't know. Therefore, it's supreme, and the Matsarana is for the devotees who are non-envious. They're not on that path. And you can see, in people ask me this question. So I was talking about praying to the Vaishnavas and how important it is to pray to the Vaishnavas. And they say, but I can't. I can't because of envy. And in one sense, I said, what do they mean? Well, I was trying to go deep today, and I was trying to go deep. And I was going deep, and I was meditating and chanting and thinking of the different acharyas. And I saw somehow by different conditioning and conceptions, I saw there wasn't always full appreciation for everyone. It wasn't that they weren't exalted. It was the contamination of my consciousness. And I saw it clearly that we can't go deeper in spiritual life because of envy. And because of envy, we cannot properly appreciate. When you go deep in chanting, you see. And it's ugly. And then I understand, this is what Papa gave the example, sweeping the attic, it gets dirtier. Yeah, because you see yourself. And Krishna is kind. He wants to remove that from our consciousness. And therefore, in the next verse, he says, and I want to leave that, I therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master. Indeed, they are my own family. After all, I've taken a vow to protect. Because Indra has this Ishamani, I am the controller. And because I stopped his yajna or worship, then his false ego has been bruised. What is the false ego being bruised? When it's challenged, your conception of the self. If we said, I must protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency. And it says, Tasna Matsharana, taking shelter of me. But it also, actually the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is very interesting. It says the word Sharana can represent either home or protection. So Vrindavan is Krishna's home, and therefore he feels an intimacy with those who share his home with him. One of the key aspects of this is even Krishna himself calls this the topmost secret, is the position of his devotees. Because his devotees have spontaneous love for him, and Krishna being an exalted personality who is full of love, responds to the love of his devotees. And when you respond to love, it means you want to serve those you want to serve those who love you. And what does to serve one mean? It means you want to serve their desires. So Krishna becomes controlled by his devotee. How? The devotee loves him. And someone whom you love, in response to their love, controls you. You willingly are controlled. What is their desire? You move. And therefore, the topmost secret is that if you want Krishna, you have to go to one who possesses him, which is the devotee. And one of the most beautiful things in the whole Bhagavatam that we learn about the original personality of Godhead is we learn the mind of God, and the mind of God is he loves his devotees. He's constantly thinking how to please his devotees. We're reading today, and I'm going to stop for questions today, but with Niranjan Swami, we're reading the 7th chapter of the Real Bhagavatamrita, and we're just up to the point where Narada goes to Dwarka, and he's searching for the topmost devotee. And then really, the last devotee he's going to meet in progression, Narada Muni, is Uddhava. And Uddhava is the Parishad. It means he's the close assistant of Krishna, almost like friends. And he has so much devotion. Whereas he's so much taking Krishna's desire and mood, that mood gives him the color of Krishna, even though from his family background, his color should be different. I told you many times, that's what disciple means. He takes the mood of the guru. He takes his being as his very self. That's what Prabhupada's inspiration was for coming to America, was reading the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's verse, That means you should execute devotional service with resolute determination. And in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that that means you should take the order of the spiritual masters, your life and soul. That's it. So, Uddhava took Krishna's desires as his life and soul. And he was always near Krishna. And when he came, and he started asking Uddhava about the topmost devotee, and then Rohini was there, they began talking about the residents of Vrindavan. Uddhava said, no, please be quiet. Because if Krishna hears about the residents of Vrindavan, he has so much love that he'll be disturbed in separation. But somehow they couldn't help but talking about it, and then Krishna began thinking of the exalted love of the residents of Vrindavan. A love that was so deep and so intense that Krishna himself couldn't go back to Vrindavan. Because they were in such separation from him that if he came back to Vrindavan, he would have to stay there for a period of time in their convalescence. And then when the gopis who would be waking from their stupor, they would see Krishna, and the first thought was, will he leave again? And they would go into even a deeper state of separation. So that love is so much, but not only their love for Krishna, but... Oops, I got it. One second, the phone is there. The battery's going to go out. I'll just plug it in. Okay, let's stop now. Are there any questions? Is anybody there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Haribo. Who's that?
This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
I'm referring all the way back to like the beginning of your lecture, when you were saying that, you know, Sankirtan is the best way to, you know, nourish our relationship with Krishna. And I was just wondering if you can explain how I can... You're saying that it nourishes our particular relationship with him. And I'm just wondering, when I'm performing japa, how can I really experience that, doing this japa is nourishing? How can I get more of a sense of relationship? Because right now, the sense is, so generic that it almost doesn't feel like relationship. I mean, I know that I am supposed to be Krishna's, selfless, loving servant. But because it seems a bit generic, it almost doesn't feel like a specific relationship like you might have with a mother or a friend.
I just hope the phone here doesn't. What happened is one room had to get juice, doesn't have good reception.
Maharaj? Gail?
Yes?
I think the thing got cut off.
Oh, who is this?
This is Rasa Gyal in Austin.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah, I thought he was just thinking.
I think he got cut off, but could I give a brief answer to your question?
Oh, thank you so much.
I think that feeling is experienced by many devotees,
And by the, just the constant chanting, that's why it's called sadhana, you know, the practice of sadhana, is that it gradually becomes revealed as you just sincerely go on with the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the part that's a little bit austere, that we're willing to perform the austerity until the feeling, until Krishna, by his mercy, manifests it by our sincerity to desire it.
Mm-hmm. So basically, I just need a lot of patience.
Patience is one of the virtues.
Yeah.
Patience, tolerance, perseverance. All those things. And the thing is, we want it now. In this society, we want instant. And if it doesn't come, then we become tired and bored. But the more you just persevere, Gail, then Krishna will see. And even if he gives you little pieces of nectar once in a while, like I had a piece of nectar once, 30 years ago that still holds me.
Wow.
You know, so the little pieces of nectar come at intervals by Krishna's grace.
I want.
Yes, thank you so much. It was so nice, actually. What happened was, is my phone, it must have been Krishna's grace. I told you, room I'm in, I don't have good reception. So it's so much nicer for me to hear.
I didn't know you were still there.
I just came on, and it was wonderful. Thank you so much.
I really appreciated this class, particularly in the different things you were saying about envy.
I was thinking of it this morning because I was chanting, and I try to think of each round. I try to think of one of the acharyas. Not think, but I try to offer the round. And then when I'm offering the round, you know, it gives me kind of some focus. So just I'm asking for mercy of one devotee. And then sometimes, you know, we get more focus. I'll chant a prayer to them, you know.
Yeah.
I'll chant a prayer to them, or sometimes I'll even sing one of their songs, if they wrote a song, realizing that it represents their heart. Just something to get me out of a mechanical mode and trying to give me some yearning in some way. I was thinking of acharya, and one of the acharyas I thought of, I realized I had a material conception of.
And I
felt that envy in my heart, and I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, this is it.
Yeah.
I can't appreciate, how can I love?
Yeah.
And why can't I appreciate? Go ahead.
I mean, the thing is, it was a wonderful thing to rehear again how insidious envy is and how deep in so many areas that it is where you don't even think that it is envy. Or, you know, sometimes we just consider envy very sort of superficial or something. It's not
right,
just about I want this and I want that, or, you know, wanting your partner to be different than they are, or so many crazy things.
Well, I felt good that I realized it.
Because
I don't want to have an artificial conception of myself either, you know. So it's trying to go deeper, and then. And I also did, because someone on the Sangha wrote me about it, you know. And I said, what are they talking about, envy of the acharyas, you know? What are they talking about? I couldn't understand it. But then when I was chanting this morning, I saw it.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
And so, could I ask one quick question also?
When
you were saying that it was difficult for you to speak on the Govardhan Leela. I didn't quite understand exactly.
Was it because of that dream also?
I don't know what happened. I mean, it just, I spoke on other Canto stories, and each verse seemed to have like a kind of a unique philosophical point that I could share. Or maybe, I don't know. Or some kind of inspiration. It's my favorite era, but to speak on it for 2 months,
I was just saying it was kind of a challenge. And I'm just thinking in this kind of medium, because you're a communicator, you know, not being able to see the audience, not even knowing always what who they are, I have to be especially kind of inspired. And, you know, I have to think of the audience and think of what they want. And it's also to keep the audience, because I want to continue doing this.
Uh-huh.
And these kind of things are difficult to keep on going, you know, because people are busy. There's a lot of competition for so many things, you know. So I realize I have to keep up with, like, a pretty deep presentation. So I'm always searching, and I'm kind of thinking that, you know, maybe some of the stories in the Bhagavatam, which I did deposit on, like Narada Muni, et cetera, may be a good change. But I'm just thinking of it, you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Whatever suggestions that are there, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Mother Rafikia, thank you very much for your answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Does anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Hare Kirtan.
Hare Kirtan, I was just thinking of you and hoping you were still with me. Thank you.
Well, I'm still here. And in fact, I do have a question for you about this particular, some things you said in this particular class, but I'd like to send them via email, if I may.
Please do. Please do. And then maybe I can assimilate them and share it with others, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
I actually been on a here in Italian. I told you there's an old, he was a student of mine, and he was not, and he's actually a successful Ayurvedic doctor. So he kind of invited me to come to get a, what do you call it, like a tune-up, you know?
Right.
And after 50 tune-up, you know, kind of thing. And it entails all this purification of the body, you know? I mean, you know, from drinking, don't ask me what that's about. But you, each day you drink more ghee until you can't drink anymore. It's just a common thing. And then there's purging, all kinds of things. So the last 3 days I've actually been fasting. So all I eat is but this gruel. It's like rice water and things like that. So I don't know. Maybe that's what I'm doing now.
Sounds ecstatic.
Isn't it? Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
All right, this is Henry.
I was also thinking of you, Henry. So nice to hear you. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed this class very much. It really it helps my connection with Krishna consciousness enormously.
Thank you. Thank you, Henry. And did you get my little message back?
I did get your email, yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Shastra Das.
Shastra, I see you in a short time. It's sweet. Looking
very much forward to that.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. In Jagannath Puri. Very nice. Well, I'm driving off the sun every day.
Nice.
It's very ecstatic. Wonderful. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. A lot of people just say, okay. Well, then we'll all say goodbye now. Vanshakopa to Rupias Chakra.
Okay.